Old Fashioned, the name given to one of the earliest iterations of a cocktail. Spirit, sugar, bitters. Satisfying in its simplicity, this cocktail endures as one of the most popular drink orders at bars across the world. Today, the Cold Cans boys are drinking them at home, pre-made from a bottle and a can. And we do have a treat for you. We'll hear some thoughts from Jay Keener, celebrated bartender, film programmer, writer, and cold can skeptic, about what makes a good old-fashioned and how pre-making cocktails can sometimes go sideways. Are you ready to drink an old-fashioned?
What are we drinking, Nick?
We are drinking RTD Old Fashions.
What is RTD? You've said it a few times. I have avoided asking you.
Ready to drink.
Ready to drink
so
Old
Fashions.
So in
theory, it's a drink that's been pre-mixed and canned or bottled for your enjoyment, wherever you may be.
The Old Fashioned should be, in theory, a relatively quiet drink. Mellifluous, stirred, ice moving harmoniously. It's best to think of it as a style more than a thing, like more adverb than noun. It is fashioned in the old style, meaning spirit, bitters, sugar, oldest cocktail around. The most efficient and tasty way is to simply stir to chill the drink and to sufficiently dilute it. Just using these simple ingredients with just the oils expressed from the peel of a lemon or an orange should just consistently make this a satisfying drink. You can dissolve the sugar or make a syrup as you wish. You can use brandy or whiskey, historically called for, but subbing out something like pisco or mezcal, it's just another way to keep it old-fashioned while highlighting the spirit's intrinsic flavor. Rum can be great too. But for me, I know blasphemous it is, aged spirits, they read as too sweet from the old-fashioned treatment, which is why I tend to make someone like you a mezcal, agave, pisco, or rum agricole old-fashioned. As long as I call it out and I'm trying to offer you something new rather than disabuse you of your preferred bourbon.
How the hell you been? It's been a month between podcasts.
How long has it been?
It's a monthly catch-up. We got to do our monthly catch-up section.
It is a monthly catch-up. I went and saw the eclipse, Joe.
Yeah, you did go eclipse touring. I'm so jealous of that.
It was a lot of fun. I went with my dad and brother, and we were in central Ohio, outside of Cleveland. So I guess not central, northern Ohio.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was really amazing, honestly. It was cooler than I had expected going in.
Now, did you look right down the barrel of the eclipse with the naked eye?
Yes, I did. Okay. But I put my squinter protectors on, so I was good.
So your eyelids were your eclipse glasses.
That's right. Yeah. I am way good. No, I will say one thing. We didn't bring any sunscreen, which in hindsight was pretty dumb because you're literally, even when you have your actual eclipse glasses on,
yeah,
you're staring directly up into the sun with your face and didn't have any sunscreen on. And we're doing that over the course of, you know, like 2 hours from... like when we get there to like when it starts and then it's full totality. So yeah, that was unfortunate. But what was cool was you could feel the temperature change as the moon went in front of it.
Yeah.
Like especially on your face when you were staring at it going. And then when it's totality, the 360 degree eyeball, no, sunset effect.
Yeah, that's around. Cool.
That's so cool.
Meaning you were saying you could see the sunlight around you physically in the landscape.
Exactly. So like outside of the path of totality, you could see the sun hitting the ground still. And so it creates like a sunset effect. Like
that's
there's
amazing.
Sun in the far distance.
But sunset everywhere.
Yes. All around you. When typically it's only to one side of you.
Right. Flat earthers would say, I don't know what
not
they would
so
say
fast,
about sunset.
They'd say.
not so fucking fast, right? So hold on, the temperature change thing. Do you think it just feels like that? You know what I mean?
The real feel?
Well, you know what I mean? Where like
the temperature absolutely changes,
gets drastically and immediately cooler.
Yeah.
You know how like
because the sun's energy is what gives us heat, and the
right,
energy
so the
blocked.
Heat is gone for a minute. But I wonder if it's like one thing I read online was somebody's like, when I saw you, Clips. I the wind
old timey newsies era news again.
Yeah, the people in the newsies era news sound like the newsies themselves. When I saw the eclipse, Joy, no, it said the wind felt colder than the wind with the sun, and I was thinking
the wind.
Okay. You know, I don't know what point I'm trying to land. I will land this plane when. You know when it's like 60 degrees and there is
love
no wind?
60. Yes.
And there's sun and it's 60 degrees. And if it's 60 degrees, but there's a bunch of wind, same sun, yes. But it's windy, that feels much colder.
That's the real feel. That's the wind chill.
The real feel. Maybe I'm getting at the wind chill. Does that have anything to do with the eclipse? Or you're just saying it just, if you had a thermometer, the thermometer would get lower.
Yes. I think the temperature goes down.
You don't know for sure. Do you?
But it stands to reason it would, right?
It stands to reason.
Energy is literally not hitting that spot anymore for, you know, 3 minutes or whatever.
But it's so big. The Earth is so big that how can it just get immediately cooler? Like you comic, like it's a cartoon and you're looking at the thermometer and it goes and it gets smaller. It just feels like it would take forever to actually get colder, but it certainly would immediately feel cooler.
Yeah, because you're not being hit by the sun's rays. So, like, that's part of it, too. If it's 80 degrees but cloudy, you're going to not feel as hot as if it's 80 degrees and you're in direct
sunlight.
That's
what I'm getting at. But either way, it's 80 degrees. Is it that or...
Maybe. I don't know.
We don't know. Fuck.
There's probably enough ambient heat stored in the Earth that it's not going to immediately chill
that's
off
what I was
a
getting
ton.
At. Yes, exactly.
Maybe that's true. I don't know. This is fun, though, because I had these same questions when we were there, like, getting ready for it. I was just sitting there. I'm like, don't eclipses must... They must happen like once a year somewhere on Earth, right?
Don't eclipses must?
That was what And I was on a microphone in front of a crowd, too, saying that.
Hold
they
on.
All kind of applauded.
Don't like, okay, eclipses must happen once a year? Well, do they?
I looked it up after, and it sounds like they happen about every 18 months somewhere on Earth. This one in particular was... a big deal because it was over the continental U.S.
Yeah.
And most often they're happening over open water because there's so much water on
simply
planet
so much
Earth.
Is.
Simply so much must there is do. Let's get a drink in us.
Get a drink.
My words out a little bit.
All right. Which one are we starting with? So Nick's got three of these cans here.
So we're starting with On the Rocks brand. Premium cocktails. The old fashioned. Crafted with Knob Creek bourbon.
Oh, so this isn't a Knob Creek brand. The brand is On the Rocks.
Yep.
They're licensing Knob Creek.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, in theory, also using Knob Creek bourbon in there. So it's a partnership. They're not just licensing the name, I would assume. And On the Rocks, On the Rocks makes like a ton of these, right? Have you had any? They
no,
make like margarita.
I actually don't know
Cosmo.
Shit about RTD.
Oh, okay. You'll find On the Rocks. I see them at Whole Foods all the time.
Okay.
They're probably at other stores too. I think I did buy this at Safeway, so they're probably at Safeway.
Which is, we established, Albertsons brand.
They're probably at Kroger too.
Kroger brand.
Speaking of Ohio, jeez.
They a Kroger family in Ohio?
I think that's where it is based, yes.
Okay. I want to know, because like, it feels like whiskey is a hell of a lot like beer, where it's like two companies that own everything. It's like Jack Daniels and Jim Beam. Own everything, but I wonder
if
Knob Creek is unique.
That's a great question, Joey.
I don't know. I don't know anything about much.
You must. Simply do must. Knob Creek, do you...
I'll pour
you. Where are you from on the like whiskey in general? Do you drink much whiskey?
No, I don't hate it, but I'm never gravitating to it. All right, we're going to get some audio.
Yeah.
I will do a little bit
like
this time. We're not getting drunk on this
half
podcast.
Shot. No getting drunk. Just enough to straighten my words out.
That good? Is that what you were thinking?
Do. Yeah, that looks great. Smells like Knob Creek.
Cheers. Ooh, that smells good.
Mm. Yeah.
That's RTD.
It was, yes.
To answer your question, I don't gravitate towards whiskey. No, I'm more of a gin man or a vodka drink I'll enjoy. I'm like kind of a dumbass, schlocky boy where I like kind of like tiki stuff and I like...
oh, yeah, sure.
So that's when I'm having like fun with a cocktail, I go towards tiki. And when I'm just having like your, you know, a standard cocktail, if I don't want beer or wine somewhere and it's just like a normal bar, a townie bar, then I'm getting a gin and tonic all day long.
Yeah. So that's sort of your equivalent of an old fashioned is a gin and tonic.
Gin and tonic. Yeah. How about you?
I don't not drink much whiskey. I used to, like in college, I would drink whiskey waters at the plaza.
I remember that, your whiskey water phase.
And,
insane.
I think I did it because I just didn't want the sweetness, I think, or like didn't want the sugar back then. I don't know. But now I'm mostly on the gin tray now. I drink martinis primarily now, gin and vodka, but primarily the OG gin martini. And then, gin and tonics, similar to you.
Yeah.
You made me a tasty little gin drink not too long ago.
I was just about to bring this up. So last night, Nicholas texts my dumb little ass. Why do I keep using dumbass in this conversation? I don't know.
Something makes me not feel good.
Nick texts me and he says, I'd like to watch some basketball with my boy. And he came over.
Exactly what I said.
My dog barked at him for 25 minutes. But anyway, you had told me like, hey, before I came, I had a couple of martinis.
Yep.
Over the last few hours.
Yep.
So, okay, I have that baseline. I'm like, well, let me make you a gin drink. I make him a Glockentonic. I make him a watermelon bubbly with gin and one basil leaf that you smack. Spake the basil leaf, and it pops open the flavor. You put that in there. It was delightful. It's actually, I think it's even more delightful when you use blackberry bubbly.
Ooh, yeah.
With that basil. Anyway, you enjoyed it. We had that. Then we pour ourselves glass and a half of red wine. You're done drinking for the night. Not really a crazy night by any means.
No.
But then you said you were hungover today.
I was. What I think it's because of the full moon.
The full moon got
me. The eclipse still got me in its gravitational pull.
I just felt so cold.
The path to totality. I was so cold all night. Yeah. I don't know what it was. Yeah, I don't really ever get hungover. I feel like I'm good at avoiding hangovers.
Yeah.
And then something went off. Maybe it was that Glockentonic.
That's what I'm worried about. So it got you sick.
Poisoned me.
Yeah. I'm enjoying this drink, by the way.
I think it's good. It tastes like an old-fashioned. It doesn't taste like it's been sitting in this bottle for, months, like it certainly has been. Let me read some of this bottle copy while we're here.
Bottle copy.
So we got old-fashioned, made with Kentucky straight bourbon, whiskey, and bitters. Staying true to the original recipe, we keep our old-fashioned strong and simple, using a generous pour of Knob Creek Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey, bitters, cane sugar, orange, cherry, and lemon flavors. So there's a little bit of flavoring going on here. A little magic dropper, one of each.
Essence of orange and cherry. Just one kiss.
Yes.
Okay.
And kind of a classic bottle here. I think this is, 375 milliliters? Yeah. This is good.
It's really good.
I'm kind of surprised. I've never had this before.
Yeah. I have. Like I said, I'm a relative virgin to the game of RTDs, Nicholas. And... I really enjoy it. If I got an old fashioned,
he's ready to go.
I'm RTG for RTD. If I got this at like just your regular bar and the bartender poured me it, I'd go, that's solid old fashioned. Yeah. The bartender poured me. That's good. Yeah. I think that's all you can ask for with something like this.
I agree. Speaking of hangovers, by the way, I think the reason I don't drink whiskey much these days is because it usually gives me a hangover more so than gin does.
Me too. It'll always kind of mess me up if I go wild with it, if I'm having a ton of it. Yeah.
Right. If I have more than one whiskey drink, I think.
Yeah.
So we're fucked. I feel it the next day. Yeah.
Because we're drinking a bunch of these.
Well, we just drank. We had like a quarter of a drink right there.
Yeah. Okay.
We're fine. Next one. Let's keep moving through. We got a Bullet.
Bullet.
Bullet is a brand of bourbon, of course, or a whatever distiller of bourbon. And of they, course. It looks like they make this on their own. Like, there's not a cross-branded thing here. Produced by Bullet Cocktail Company in Plainfield, Illinois. So, I guess they just started a different company.
Bullet Cocktail Company. So, this is RTD company.
Right.
Instead of just their Bullet.
Yeah, exactly.
Bourbon.
So, maybe they're making other things like this. I haven't done any research. Let's see what it says on the top foil here. One can be a great host or one can mix great cocktails,
but not
rarely
both.
Can one do both simultaneously with any efficacy. Ergo, the contents of this bottle, which allow you to enjoy the company of your friends, while they enjoy your hospitality, conviviality, engaging repartee, and a premium cocktail experience right from the bottle. So we're taking nips off this right from the bottle.
Right from the tap.
RTB. So
that is the RFTB. Idea.
Yeah, we could get into that too.
The idea is you're taking this to your local party and you're saying, I brought us a bunch of cocktail drinks out of this bottle. We don't have to fart around mixing and mashing and whopping and whooping.
Yeah.
We can simply just pour and enjoy each other's company and conversation.
Right. And in theory, you're going to take this somewhere where you couldn't easily mix a drink. So if you're meeting in a park for a picnic or at the beach or something, you would bring something like this.
What about, like, do they sell this shit at, like, we recently went to a Mariners baseball game. Lovely day. Had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Great time.
Are you getting it at the ballpark? Maybe not one this big. Why not? That's a great opportunity. They don't want people getting too drunk.
Yeah, I think that's it. All right. You can get Cutwater spirits at some places. Like, I think you can get those at Kraken games.
Yeah.
And those are boozy. I mean, it's 12 ounces. Like, the 12-ounce Mai Tai is, like, 15% alcohol, I think.
Yeah.
That's a lot of liquor.
It'll get you where you need to go.
At the, I went to a Brewer Cincinnati Reds game on that same Eclipse trip with my family, and I was drinking Cutwater Spirits. I got the Long Island Iced Tea one. It tasted awful, and it was 15% alcohol, I think.
So if they're slinging 15% alcohol at baseball games, they're ready for people to be rowdy. They're ready for rowdy.
12 ounces of 15% alcohol. Like,
good God. All right, pour me a bullet. Old-fashioned. I like this brand, too, so we're looking at
the branding of it, yeah.
Deer Hunter orange sort of brand.
Deer Hunter?
You know, deer hunters wear orange.
Yeah, deer
hunters. I guess Halloween color style. It's just black font and text with the orange bottle. I think it looks nice.
It does. It looks nice.
It's weird that you can't see the color of what's inside. I did like that about the Knob Creek one.
Yeah, I agree, because old fashions do have a nice color to them, sort of that like orange hue to them.
Ooh, right off the smell this. Cheers. Get you right off the smell here. It's different than Knob Creek. I think this one's going to be a little more pow, kazam.
Boozy. Ooh, yeah. It's nice.
Mmm. So I would say the other one, Knob Creek, I described as smooth sailor. Mm-hmm. This one's a little honky tonk, you know.
This is some shit kicking drinking.
Hey, did I tell you I'm going next weekend? I'm going to see Garth Brooks in Las Vegas, Nevada.
No, you didn't. That's awesome.
He's gonna come out, and he's gonna classic Garth, right? Big show.
Oh, classic.
He's gonna come out, and he's gonna go, I am Garth. He's gonna do a Groot. That's what I think he's gonna do.
Okay.
I am Garth.
Are you going to place a prop bet or anything on that while you're in Vegas?
I'm propping Groot on Garth. And then when we're all like, what the fuck? This guy's just going to do a Groot the whole show? Then he's going to get into one of his classes. That honky tonk, the donkey donk.
Is that a Garth Brooks song?
Slap your mom, put a helmet on. I don't know what the lyrics are. There's no way that's a Garth Brooks song. It might be.
No,
what is it?
There's no way.
Toby Keith? R.I.P.
Honky tonk. Yeah, right.
But donk donk. I am Groot. I think Garth's going to Groot. I'm already drunk, I think, off of these two sips
seems
of
like
bourbon.
It. Trace Adkins sings honky tonk, but donk donk.
Well, maybe he'll collab. It's Vegas.
Maybe Trace pops up. Yeah, pops out of the floor.
Anyway, this has that honky tonk, but donk donk in it.
Yeah,
it's sharper. It's a little more. Shit kicking's the wrong word, but it's got more flavors in it, whereas the Knob Creek was just super smooth and simple.
Knob Creek one, on the rocks one, also said serve on rocks. This says, this perfectly crafted cocktail is ready to enjoy. Feel free to serve neat, chilled, or over ice. Should you decide to garnish, you will have to grapple with the age-old debate, lemon twist, orange twist, or cherries.
Age-old debate.
Yada, yada. And Jay, we're going to be playing some clips of Jay Keener, bartender and...
Local legend.
Local legend. He was running the bar program at the Cloud Room when we were running a studio out of that same building.
Intimidatingly very good and cool at what he did. He was...
For sure.
He once gave me 4 beers and trusted me to carry them. And I said, I got him, Jay. And I grabbed the 4 beers, turned, and shattered in this like really regal, elegant environment that they had up there. And he was doing such a good job slinging these world-class cocktails.
Yes.
And I shattered 4 beers on the ground in front of him. And he was like, He was nice about it, but then had to clean it up. I was a real jackass.
He was also a warrior in that space because it would get so busy and it would usually just be him working.
Yes.
And just slinging out drinks that were delicious.
Quality, exactly. Yeah. That's a talent. Anyway, so Jay's got thoughts on canned cocktails.
A lot of this stuff, yeah.
A lot of this stuff.
Other thing about Jay, he's also a film critic and has a lot of pieces published on film critiquing.
Yeah.
And he also works with
a
company
that has pieces published on film critiquing.
Oh my God. And he also works for a canning a company that like makes bitters, and they partner with this company that makes vermouth or imports vermouth, and they make a cocktail or an aperitif called Spritzer.
Spritzer. That's cool. I never really thought about like a company that makes bitters. Of course, there are companies
Scrappy's bitters.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. What, again, let's do a hypothetical here where you treat me like I'm a dumbass, hypothetically speaking. What is a bitter? What exactly is bitters? I know what it tastes like, but like, what is it? Is it a liquor?
I think they have an alcohol base typically, yeah.
There's liquor in bitters?
I think so, yeah.
I have some scrap.
Do some investigation here.
I have Angostura sitting here.
Angostura is the one you always see with the little white label, and it's all kind of crunched up, crunkled up.
That's the classic. So Scrappy's Bitters, I have a little four-pack here.
Scrappy's.
This comes with cardamom, Orleans, black lemon, and then lavender.
Wow.
The new Classics mini set contains four innovative expressions that have become new classics in the contemporary cocktail landscape. And they are, the Angostura is like 44% alcohol. This doesn't say on the bottles, but.
So, okay. So it's just I don't know the right word, dense alcohol.
Yeah.
Extremely like bitter. So you use it as an ingredient with a dash.
Concentrate that adds
concentrate
flavor.
Is the word I was looking for. Great call. So it's extremely alcoholic, and that's why you put a dash in, it changes the flavor, it adds some complexity to your drink.
Yep.
Got it. Didn't know.
I think that's right.
Didn't know. How you told me it was just like, I don't know, it's black pepper. I don't know.
Yeah,
fucking
black
know what bitters
pepper
is.
And water. Water out of
you high old river. Yeah, shut your mouth, put a helmet on, and it's honky-tonk. Okay, ingredients is alcohol, water, sugar, natural flavors, caramel color. So it is. That's what it is. That's what it is.
That's what it is. Do you know the history of Angostura bitters?
No.
Me neither.
By appointment to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, manufacturers of Angostura. So Queen Elizabeth II said, manufacture this, you fuckers.
Or else, let them drink old fashions.
That was famously Queen Elizabeth II that did the let them eat cake.
They're all the same.
Yeah, just like Trace Atkins and Garth. I am Garth. There are other aromatic bitters, but only one Angostura. Brand name under blah, 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 blah. First made in 1824. Wow. Produced in the port of Spain. Famous throughout the world. Its delightful flavor and aroma has become extremely popular for use in soft drinks, Interesting. Cocktails and other
alcohol
beverages.
I think if you just do like bitters and soda, some people who are not drinking alcohol will order that at a bar. Just get
there's
soda 44% water.
44% alcohol in this.
Oh, yeah, true. So
you're just doing a dash, so there isn't
right,
much.
It's mostly just flavoring.
You can put it on.
It's the same amount I get when I'm cleaning my fingernails off with the fingernail remover polish, and I take a little nip of it. It's the same thing.
Yeah, we all do that. When you're cleaning your fingernails off with your fingernail polish, you take one little nip, you put the cap back on.
That's right.
They're saying you could also add this to soups, salads, vegetables, gravies, fish, meat, fruit juices, jellies, sherbets, ice cream, and all similar desserts.
It's always my favorite when they're like, you can put this in anything. Dump the entire bottle in the soup.
Put the bottle in gravy.
Chicken soup, yeah.
It's better to go with a spirit-based cocktail if you're going to take it canned. Issues like dilution and temperature still play an appreciable part in the overall quality. It's worth considering, too, that the role of the can, it's mainly meant for holding bubbles, right? Like effervescence, rather than simply being a vessel. So anything bubbly seems to make a bit more sense in a can. Spritzes tend to be best because they can also hold over time. because they're not necessarily dealing with added sugars or citrus. So usually it's just a fortified botanical wine that has been properly charged. And then, of course, hermetics are important, meaning like how it's sealed and is there adequate pressure without the introduction of additives to keep the contents from oxidizing or the introduction of microbes and so forth. Basically, anything that's going to have a dulling effect on your palate when consuming the drink.
Now, you might hear a little sound here.
I hear a little sound, a little tiny sound. Nicholas, what am I hearing?
Our third and final Old Fashioned is a little bit different form factor.
You used an inflection in your voice. Okay, but for me,
twinkle of Wonka in my eye.
For my brain to maintain order and a semblance of structure in my life, I know that we're simply having three cocktails. If we have anything besides three, I'll lose my mind. Ooh, so here we go. Let's go into our third one.
So this one is in a can rather than in a bottle. So this is a single serving of Old Fashioned, whereas the other ones, you know, the 375 milliliters, I think you probably get, 8.5 drinks out of this, it says.
It is a perfect little party. It's little nice. Wink and a nod when you walk in and you say, I've got 8.5 drinks here. Who's in?
So I'm shaking this up because I was talking with someone who had had these, and they said every time they try one, it tastes different. And sometimes they shake it a ton. Sometimes they don't really shake it. Because this basically just says, keep at room temperature with devoted attention. Stir over ice and give it a twist.
Devoted attention?
Yeah, they're trying to be cute.
You stare at it?
Trying to be cute.
Yeah, trying to be cute.
See what happens. So this is, I haven't even said what this is. This is Straight Away is the brand called the Oregon Old Fashioned. Made with whiskey, simple syrup, and bitters of filbert and fir.
So a little bit different from our
Angostura. The tasting notes are oak, smidge of orange, dry finish.
Dry. Tasting note of dry. Oak and smidge of orange. So all of these have like a smidge of orange is what they're going with. So their accoutrement was orange.
Twist, yeah.
But like, I thought it was an age-old debate between orange and cherries and whatever else the Bullet copy
that's
said.
That's what Bullet claimed. Yeah, Bullet's bottle kind of has the like Dr. Bronner soap thing going on.
Yeah, it's a ton of copy.
All in different orientations and text sizes or font sizes. I got to read this. The only constant on the frontier, change. The frontier is not a place. It's our innate capacity to evolve, to invent, and to adapt to a rapidly changing world, all while steadfastly maintaining our highest standards and expectations for quality. Bullet Classic Cocktails are an eloquent answer to this moment and to every moment yet to come.
No, so you know what it gives me a little bit of vibes of? Last time, astute listeners will know that in the last podcast, we had a box of... of wine. I can't remember which one it was,
box-wise,
and it had like
on that shelf back there.
Had all the quotes, and it had a bunch of like, if you don't have wine, you don't have life, or whatever. And this
happy wine, happy life.
That's what it is. And this kind of has that kind of vibe to it with Bullet. But that's the last one. We've moved past this. We're having a different one. I like
the
brand.
This is a new episode, a new worse episode.
Yes.
We're going to split one can. I brought two cans, but again, we're not getting drunk on this episode.
No, you did pour it a little more stiff than...
you think so?
Don't leave me behind, dear boy.
Oh, you thought I poured myself more stiff.
No, I don't know what I thought.
A little stiff on this side of the table.
Nicholas?
Cheers. So this one's a little lighter in color right away.
All right. Interesting. That one tastes like paint thinner.
I will say we got some thoughts on canned cocktails in general, and Jay will have some thoughts as well. And the reason I was shaking it is because the person I was talking to was like,
they said the same.
Something maybe is getting stuck on the inside of the can, like with some of the flavoring or something.
Yeah.
And so that's why you should try to shake it up as much as possible. I shook that till it was shaken. As they say.
Yeah, that is what they always say, and you did it. You were shaking that thing for like 2 minutes, honestly, so that you shook it up.
Astute listeners will have heard that.
I think the COVID era may beg otherwise, but cocktails don't particularly like can very easily, and they typically don't can very well. The challenge is finding a ratio that works, like a base recipe that doesn't go sideways when batched in super large quantities. For example, try making a 100 Count Negroni. I guess that's pun intended. And it starts requiring a lot of adjustments. Dilution is also key. For instance, should a standard dilution be accounted for, assuming that the cocktail will be consumed straight from the can? And say, what if it is poured over the rocks? You can control those factors in a bar. Much harder to dial in a can. So I think actually making a drink that's well diluted and is meant to be consumed directly from the can is the way to go. Another challenge is getting acid right. Citrus does not age well. So trying to mimic freshness is pretty much the necessary evil involved, because you're employing citric or other acids to simulate the desirable tartness of your daiquiri or your margarita, last word, etc. Lastly, it seems kind of obvious, but base spirit. Check the quality of what is essentially structuring that cool can that you took to the picnic or whatever. It might even be like malt liquor, which is the case with many drinks, but it might be fine for an inner tube ride down your local, you know, watering hole, river, whatever, on a hot summer day. But it's probably going to be what's making you feel like shit the next day when you are mumbling something about it being sessionable.
I'm interested in who the astute listener is out there.
Yeah, that's
hashtag
our average
astute
listener.
Troop.
That's pretty good. Did we get any posts tons. About show us your nozzle?
Tons of show us your nozzle posts. I
did
have to report most
still
to the police.
Open. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Hashtag is still open. I haven't closed the hashtag yet.
Submissions.
Where, yeah, you have permission to submission. Haven't closed it down. Midnight tonight, I'm closing the hashtag, though. You won't be able to use it.
That's fair.
It'll just be plain
and
text.
Tonight of this recording.
Yes. Which is, by the way, 420. All right. Here we go. I'm drinking this again.
It tastes better the second time. It's a little more chilled down, but...
So I'd say we've gone in increasing depth and amount of flavor, for sure.
What about width? About the width of the flavor.
Can we tell the story with it, but also anonymize it
yeah,
just a bit?
Yeah, I think we can easily do that, yeah.
We had a buddy, we went to Vegas, and we went to a really good sushi restaurant in Vegas, and he was a little drunk, and I love him for it, because he was enjoying the sushi.
Totally.
Having a good time, and he had a bite of one piece that he fucking loved, and he was trying to express his thoughts, and he said, you know, most flavors, you know, have a depth. This one almost has a width to it. And he had to look at him and be like,
and he's
what
saying
the fuck
it so
are you talking
wistfully
about?
Too, like with his eyes closed, is how I remember it.
It was great because either one of two things happened. Either he felt something and those were the words that described it, which is awesome, or he was absolutely full of shit in that moment, which is really funny. Either yes. way, it's great and I love him for it. And if he's listening, he knows who he is.
Yes. Good stuff. So what do you think on your second sip there?
Let's just say he has how a name that's depth? A lot like one of our names.
You could say that.
You could. Second sip is sort of same as first sip. So if you spectrum belt, if you spectrumed out flavors, you have gone in increasing order, whether you knew it or not, you have to me. And I think for my little tongue, you've pushed me over the edge a little bit with this one.
Yeah.
I don't think I could drink a lot
and
of this.
And what piece of it do you think it is? Do you think it's the weird bitters, filbert and fir? Because they say oak
on here.
I'm
tasting the filbert.
Yeah, it's too much filbert.
It's way too much filbert. More fir
it's
next
full,
time.
It's full, filbert, yes. More fir.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
I do taste the oak. It has like a scotch quality to it almost, like a smoky oakness,
yeah.
Which I don't love.
Yeah, maybe that's a good way to put it. That's a really good way to... It's not maybe. That is a really damn good way to put it.
Thanks, Joe.
So if we went from whiskey to bourbon, this is more like a scotch-based, which we've established. Old fashions are a framework. They're a state of mind, man. So they aren't hard and fast with their ingredients. I don't know whether I like the first two better, but I don't like this one. I think there's too much going on with the liquor itself kind of punching you in the face with flavor versus the first two, which danced a little more. They did a little tango in the mouth.
Yeah, I agree. They were both smoother than this as well. I think everything, like you said, the first one was super smooth. The second one did have that more of that alcohol bite, which I kind of wanted in old fashioned. So
me too. Me too.
That was nice. And then this one's too something.
Too much. This, again, would all three of these, if they were poured for me at a bar, I'd go, okay, it's an old fashioned. Yeah. This one, I'd be like, I think the bartender was trying to be just a little bit too cute. Too
cute?
Yep. That cutie boy was too cute, what I would say. Yeah, what's happening to me?
So Straightaway is based in Oregon, I think in Portland itself.
Okay.
And yeah, I don't know. This brand also makes like a Negroni, margarita, and then a gin one called like a Lintic or something, which actually is the best one of the ones I've had. But canned cocktails, the margarita ones, I don't really like generally. The citric acid in them, or they get too acidic. They taste like... And Jay, I was chatting with Jay about this, and he said some of them can have so much citric acid in that they kind of taste like aspirin or like sweet tarts almost. And that is what I've found with a lot of the margaritas. Like that, you can feel them eating away your tongue.
I totally, like there's a coating on it that's not good.
Yeah.
It's like if you go to like a family style Mexican restaurant, and sometimes they make a nice mean margarita and you're like, God damn, this is good. And they serve it in that big chalice and you just suck it down in margaritas and you're having fun. But sometimes some of these family style Mexican restaurants don't really do that well.
Yeah.
That flavor is every canned margarita.
Yes. Yes. Way too acidic or overly sweet, like treacly. Margarita story though, on that road trip with my family, we ate at a little the Eclipse Trip. The very Eclipse one. Strip. The Eclipse Trip.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
The temperature dropped. And we went to a just like a local, it was called like Campesino or something, local family Mexican restaurant, ordered a pitcher of margs, which is great order when you get, you know, two or three people.
You're describing genuinely like amongst my favorite things that you can, like situations you can possibly be in. It's like sitting around that family Mexican restaurant table and that pitcher of margs comes down. Are you fucking kidding me? Sorry, keep going.
It's the best. Anyway, we ordered the house margarita blended, which I'm actually coming around on. I used to just do on the rocks, but I think blended is lovely.
I think it's fun. I think it's more fun.
It's more fun. It slows you down like a little bit. Yeah.
Like the old school ices. Yeah. Slows you down. Yep.
This one comes, it's the color of Mountain Dew Baja Blast. But I will say to their credit, the taste was great. It wasn't
really,
you know, weird in any way or synthetic. It was a great tasting house margarita, but it, yeah, absolutely was that sort of pale sky blue / neon,
very natural
Baja Blast natural coloring. Yeah.
I mean, again, there's nothing better. And then I'm putting my thing in. If they have a mole on the menu, I give them the chicken mole, give me extra tortillas. You're going to give me two tortillas? I need like four tortillas with
mine.
Wow. Sir, that'll be extra. Charge me. see how I react. I just want to point out on this Straightaway cocktail.
Yeah, what do we think about the can?
The quote on the back, I love, this is my favorite brand.
The branding's nice, yeah.
Great brand.
It's very Portland whimsical as well.
It's a squirrel and a person cutting a nut.
Looking for those filberts.
Dishonor.
What is a filbert?
I don't have any idea. That's why I was kind of, it's a funny word, so that's why I thought it'd be the,
I feel like it's one of those things that's another name for something else. Mm. Filbert nuts are the fruit of the hazel tree. Oh, so they're hazelnut. Okay. A filbert is a hazelnut.
Well, give me a break, people. there's a lot of nut-based sort of
imagery,
and it's a lot of nut based.
Show us your nozzle.
It's closing at midnight. The hashtag CH Baker. I don't know who that is, but their quote on the back of this can is dishonorable but electrifying.
That's good.
Dishonorable but electrifying. I think that is actually a good summary
of discharges. Electrifying and dishonorable discharge.
Wow. You could put that in a New York Times connections puzzle.
I could. Goddamn. C.H. Baker.
The astute listener might know that Nick plays New York Times games. Played it today.
Nice.
Beat it in like 30 seconds today. Wow. Ran through it. And did you do Wordle yet?
I did.
Name of my book was the Wordle.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. This won't be a spoiler because this will have happened weeks ago at the time this is heard by anyone, but I guessed like humid.
Oh, that's a good lurid, one for lucid.
And then landed on lucid. Do you play hard mode?
What's hard mode?
Hard mode is where you, if you get a letter in the correct spot, you have to, your next guess has to have that letter in that same spot.
Ah.
Or if you get it in the yellow, then you have to include it in the next one. Basically, you can't just do random words to get more letters.
To be honest, that's kind of how I play anyway. Usually I'm full of absolute horse shit, cockinanny.
Yeah.
Baldergast, that was part of the connections puzzle today, I believe.
Balderdash. That's right. Balderdash, it was the yellow. That's what I meant. Yeah. That was the theme of the four.
Listeners are eating this up right now. But anyway.
Some listeners will.
I'm too stupid to be like, I'm going to use all different letters and then I'm going to put it all together. I always just like build it.
Gotcha.
And then, so I think I naturally play on hard mode because I'm an idiot and don't do the most optimal way to do it. But I don't know. I see the green one and the yellow and I get excited and I put them in the next guess.
You say go pack goal.
I say go pack goal. Yeah, Wordle is very much a go
pack
goal.
Every time.
I start with share every time, which is pretty good. Gets the S out there and the R and that kind of thing.
Mine is audio.
Audio is good. Yeah.
Get four four vowels in there. How much of this did you pour me? Joe, just spit it down. We got a spit take. Do you need a paper towel? Or are you okay?
That's the first spit take in the second season of Cold Cans Round 2. Sorry, no, I got a little on your mic, your pop filter.
More like a sop filter at this point, Joe. Right.
I get four verbs up there.
Vowels. I meant vowels, other V word. Yeah, you said virgin earlier, now I'm fucking vowel.
You could guess vowel as your first word if you wanted.
Can we talk, speaking of electrifying, by the way, dishonorable but electrifying.
Yeah.
Can we talk about how we almost electrocuted ourselves?
Yeah. Well, you almost electrocuted me is more...
And then I was hanging onto the metal ladder below you, so I would have caught some. So I would have caught the heat. I was not ditching any smoke. Let's just say that.
Who is this?
Ducking the smoke.
This is a Gen Z guy.
I'm like a first take guy. Yeah, I'm Mad Dog up in the screen saying I ain't ducking any smoke.
I would have caught the heat. I ain't ducking no smoke.
Tell the listeners
Nick
about.
Nick invites me over.
Did something very nice.
We're recording in Nick's living room. He invites me over today and says, "Hey, when you come, can you bring your chainsaw?" So I say, "No questions asked." That didn't happen like that, but it kind of happened like that. I say, "All right, bring the chainsaw." He's got a branch hanging on his power line, so I'm up there, and he's got a ladder that's a lean-to ladder, not a A-frame ladder. Astute listener Justin Oracle will point out he called it like the magical ladder or the impossible ladder or something like that you can buy. He sees it on infomercials.
Vegan?
It's vegan, yeah. It looks, he's like, you pull it out, it's the size of a paperclip. And then it grows and it could be a 50-foot tall ladder.
Wow, that is impossible.
J.O., tell me what the name of the actual ladder is. Anyway.
Back in the day, they had the like gorilla ladder that did all these weird things. It could be a lean-to or it could be an A-frame or it could be a little higher or it could be
like the wackadoo
right
ladder.
Angle.
Yeah, right angle ladder. It's upside down.
Yeah.
Whatever. So you go into the ground or go up into the sky.
Yeah, you could do some hooks and pulley systems on it.
So Nick's got the lean-to against this dead tree. Dead tree's
got
just
a very
leaning.
Dead tree, yeah.
It's leaning on a power line. I'm on this lean-to, which is leaned on a dead tree. I'm weebling and wobbling. Nick's holding me from the base. I lean out over there precariously. I cut the branch down over the power line. It falls to the ground. I catch it before it falls to the ground with the running chainsaw.
I will say that was a really nice catch.
Thank you. I didn't want to fall on your head.
I was running for the hills.
For the hills. The ladder's flipping around the other end of the tree. I'm flying around. And we're okay. Everyone's okay.
We made it through, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no more branches over your line.
The branch was there. Earlier this year, it was 6 inches above the thing, and now it was touching it. So I'm not going to learn from that at all, though. I'm just going to let that tree continue to fall over this way.
Well, I'll tell you, you took a picture. When that thing dies, it will not only fall directly on the power line, which will probably snap the power line off your house. It also might break the window that we're looking out right now, this beautiful picture window you have. So
I just hate to cut down a filbert tree. You know?
That's true.
It's not enough filberts in the world. Let me read some straightaway copy, by the way. They have a more filled out website than most of these other brands.
Good.
How much alcohol do your cocktails have? Our non-sparkling cocktails range from 23 to 41.5%. This old fashioned is 40%.
Jesus.
And then it says, how long do the cocktails last when opened or unopened? Our bottled cocktails never go bad, but they do age over time. Once opened, our bottled cocktails are shelf stable, meaning they can live outside the fridge for as long as a bottle of spirits, yada, yada, yada. Once opened, canned cocktails should be enjoyed immediately. So they there are telling us like the distinction between a bottled and a canned cocktail, essentially. They're like canned ones drink immediately.
Yeah.
But there's something off about the canning process. Something
I do with I agree
cocktails
with
and canning do not go together. Whereas these bottles, I don't think I've ever had a bottled cocktail RTD that wasn't solid or tasted normal.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
canned cocktails are all over the map.
Yeah, and you're right, inconsistent from drink to drink. And then in general, you can play this out with like beer too. If you have the exact same beer, but you have it out of a glass bottle or you have it out of the canned version of the beer, it absolutely tastes different.
Mm.
Now,
and maybe in the opposite direction, right? Like a clear glass bottle of beer will probably go bad before.
Yeah, yeah it is, but it tastes different. So you can imagine it's going to wreak havoc on anything you're putting in the two tubes. You know, at the end of the day, you're just putting stuff in tubes.
One in, one out.
The astute listener would know this conversation from Rolling Rock episode 33.
That's right. What a memory.
Cans, yes. Where we discussed this, and I believe that's behind a paywall now. Or maybe
no.
Not.
There's only two episodes that are behind a paywall, and it's because we got too drunk on them. And
we don't want anyone to listen to those.
We don't want anyone to listen.
Do not pay us for those two episodes because they go off the rails fast.
We got to do another writing cabin retreat weekend thing.
We do need to do another. Well, now it can be a Cold Cans second round retreat. We need to come out with new merch. Absolutely fleece our listeners with new merch. Charge double the price.
Yes.
I got
I've been
bunch of merch.
Some new logo designs, by the way.
Ooh, can't wait to see them. The same listener, Justin, came to my house from Wisconsin. He visited. He was at
That's
my
very
house.
Cool. I'm sorry I missed him.
A couple weekends
that was
ago.
When I was
eclipse
tripping.
Chasing. Yes. He was there. And he's like, I need more koozies. And I said, you know how many fucking koozies I have? And we're crawling around in our crawl space underneath my house. Pull it out. Gave him an extra pint glass. I gave him two
nice.
More koozies.
Nice. Unload. Did you find the old mics we used to use for this when you were digging in that box?
No, I've looked for those before.
They're, so weird. They must have been stolen out of my storage unit, honestly, because I don't know where they would have gone. They're just gone.
Or they are in my basement, but they're in no places I've thought to look. Like
there's
I have
two
a bunch
mice
of shit.
Doing a podcast down there. You can't find them anymore.
What do you think?
what about this cheese?
This cheese isn't bad. It's different than the others. It didn't trap me and kill me and break my neck.
They're doing bench presses on the mousetrap down there, too. They're kind of they're like Joe Rogan podcasters.
I was just gonna say it's all a conspiracy anyway. there's two ways to get this merch that's in my crawl space with the mice doing a podcast. The first is to visit me. You can have it for free as much of it. Please take as much of it as you want.
Fair.
Second is to pay us full face value online, and we'll send it to you USPS. Just wanted to throw that out.
Our website is down at the moment, so we need to...
Send us an email.
What do you think about this? Coldcans.cc. We can buy that.
Oh, that's great.
CC is like for some island.
Put it on your personal card. I'd say go for it. Buy it.
I've been trying to get you to help me transfer the old
I don't know
domain because it's under your email. It's not that hard.
You've never asked me to transfer the
yes,
domain.
Yes, I have.
You asked me to archive the site, and I did. And then I don't... Remember,
We've
you asking me to transfer
the domain.
I can move the domain right
today.
Now. I can move it right in a
you
blink
could.
Of an eye. I can blink my eye and move the damn domain.
Do it.
Squarespace.
No, okay, last old-fashioned. I'm going to make you an old-fashioned, Joe. You're going to drink it. Fill time while I do this.
Garth Brooks. We all know him. We said we weren't going to get drunk on this, and I've had three little cocktails, and now I'm drunk already.
But that can't even be... We've had one full old fashioned.
I don't know. Something's off right now. I'm getting drunk too fast. Nick got hungover after a couple of cocktails. I'm cutting limbs down over this power line in front of Nick's house with an active running chainsaw. Could have died today, but you know, we were okay. What am I doing to fill time here? Nick's in there making a podcast. Nick's in the other room making another podcast, that son of a bitch. I like the format. I want you guys to weigh in, you know, use the same hashtag. Go ahead. I'm going to reopen the hashtag, show us your nozzle. You can use Show Us Your Nozzle as a hashtag to do something entirely different, which is to tell us about the format of the show. Because we've done this thing now where we're saying, here are three things you can get at your grocery store. And then we're going to do one in its traditional way. So with the wine episode, I did one bottle of nice red wine. With this episode, we're doing Nick's making old-fashioned for me from scratch in the kitchen, which is lovely. Do you guys like that? Use hashtag show us your nozzle. Tell me whether you like that format. But yeah, next week I'm going to go see Garth Brooks' Red Solo Cup. I fill you up. I need a party. What is Garth Brooks? I got friends in low places. I think that's Garth. Right, Nick? That's Garth. Okay. He like took all his music off and kind of started to lose his mind. And I think he's like a really like genuinely nice guy and like a family guy in general. But okay, Nick just set down two sugar cubes, three orange wedges, sort of thick, beefy wedges you might, you know, bring to a soccer day in a Ziploc bag. He set down some Luxardo maraschino or maraschino cherries. So, but these are the Luxardo. These are the good ones. And then just the oldest school 7-Up I've ever seen in my life. 7-Up from 1968. Oh, this is a Mexican 7-Up. Very, very good. Yeah. I can't wait for this cocktail. And now he's pulling out E&J Brandy.
Joey, we're making a Wisconsin old-fashioned,
Brandy
baby.
Old-fashioned. Everyone listening has been waiting. They're like, talk about it, how it's brandy here and how it's not brandy yes. everywhere else.
Yes.
In Wisconsin, people drink brandy old-fashioned.
All right, listen to Jay's thoughts on the Wisconsin old-fashioned, and then we'll come back.
As for oranges and cherries and soda and all that, I know somewhere in Wisconsin this is the way. And maybe other parts of the of the Northeast. And hey, for them, there, it's correct. It's the way. Many of us, in fact, learned to make old fashions this way. That was before most cocktail bars had a, say, like a back bar devoted to books, you know, proper recipes, historic recipes, and so forth. But fruit and soda technically make this something adjacent to an old-fashioned or something else entirely not deserving of the name. And perhaps this iteration with, I don't know, muddled fruit, canned cherries, soda from the gun, maybe it needs a different name or a designation to retain its essence for those who want it their way, which we all know in the bar world is really the only way, your way. But if you want it, say, you know, Great Lakes style, just, you know, ask for an old fashioned, but be prepared for an eye roll chaser.
Poetic as always from Jay. That was a. Jay, I learned like eight new things and smiled to myself 100 different times.
And this might be edited differently at the end, but we just listened to the full clip. I hadn't yes. played it for Joey before because I didn't prepare well and I was hungover today. So Joey just heard the entire thing, but Jay sharing some wisdom with us. And as he mentioned too, just one note on that, he made me my first mezcal old fashioned in the cloud room and it was delicious.
I bet.
Drinking.
You a mezcal guy?
Good mezcal, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Good anything. We've talked about that before. Good any good type anything of liquor, good. I will drink it.
I completely
Bad
agree.
Bad anything, of course, no.
Well, mezcal has
Besides
sort of
gin.
The...
I'll drink any quality of gin.
Yeah, well, no, there's something to that. Cheers.
Cheers.
Now, Nick just prepared me a Wisconsin-style old-fashioned.
That's right. And I think, as Jay mentions there, we need to come up with a name for this thing.
Well...
Yeah, how is it?
It's fucking great. That's... A drink. Well made. Very well done. Very well done.
So we're talking sugar cube?
Couple sugar. Yeah, sugar cube.
Three, I think two to three jiggers of, dashes of Angostura.
Jiggers would be a lot.
A little, right, yeah, dashes, sorry. A little 7-Up, because you would normally put like some soda water in there
and
with
you
that
had
to
installed a
it.
Bar-style gun in your house just for this. Yeah.
Came out of a gun, I could say that much.
Yeah.
And then... orange slice,
Luxardo, Mexican 7-Up, I should say.
Yeah, and Mexican 7-Up, the good stuff in a glass bottle, real cane sugar. Luxardo cherry, that thing of
Maraschino
cherries was
cherries,
like $25.
Yeah, Luxardo's very high end.
I didn't realize that until I was just buying these.
You can get cheaper maraschino cherries, but they taste like night and day different.
Right.
Luxardo specifically.
And the color dark. Too is, for sure. Yeah. A little bit of the juice from the cherries in there, and then 2 ounces of brandy. We have E&J. Should have been Korbel, but I couldn't find that at Safeway. And
damn.
Yeah.
That's a
topped with 7-Up.
That's a cocktail. I think to Jay's point, it isn't an old fashioned, but also by his definition, if you think of it more, the name more as an adjective than a noun. Mm. And if it's fashioned in the old way, then this is naturally a Wisconsin fashioned in the Wisconsin way.
Hell yeah.
That's my proposal for a name, a Wisconsin.
The Wisconsin
fashion. Not
fashioned.
The Wisconsin old fashioned, the Wisconsin fashion.
Fashion.
Because I think it's genuinely only Wisconsin. Or you could take it all the way back to like the steakhouses in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee fashioned.
Right.
That kind of sounds
fun. I like that. The Milwaukee fashioned.
It's fashioned fascist. In the Milwaukee way. The Milwaukee fascist.
I like it. The popular story of how making an old-fashioned cocktail with brandy instead of whiskey began at the Chicago World's Fair in 1893 when the recently opened Korbel Winery offered samples of their wine and brandy. Central European immigrants from Milwaukee took a liking to the Bohemian-born Korbel Brothers brandy and brought it back to their home state and began using it in cocktails. This story is most likely false, however, and the practice more likely began after the Second World War due to supply shortages in spirits other than brandy.
Well, it's funny, like all cocktails seem to, we both love the Sloppy Boys podcast. They copied us in terms of a drink podcast. Absolutely. They launched after us, but there's
ongoing litigation. Don't want to go an episode without mentioning our lawyers.
Yeah, so they're nodding in the corner, but they're a very funny podcast, but they explore like the etymology of every cocktail, you know, from like whatever, margarita or a daiquiri or whatever.
They did the whole International Bartender Association list, the IBA which they list. Hate.
They're unshackled from the IBA list done. Now. Go listen to Sloppy Boys. They're very, very better. Good, very funny. Anyway.
We should start a band, Joey, or actually record our Piss Boys music.
Well, yeah, I was going to say we're in a band, the Piss Boys.
We are in a band.
And the Piss Boys have played music. We play a lot of covers. We don't have a lot of originals. You've had a couple
play
originals.
All Garth Brooks songs.
Yeah.
Like courtesy of the
Red Rainbow. Solo Cup.
That's Solo Cup.
Yeah. We're kind of a Garth cover band. Like if we go do our tour around Seattle, mm-hmm. we're playing, it's like, oh, there's a Garth cover band called the Piss Boys playing in the little watering hole down there. And then we start it. We're like, all right, everybody, here we go. Red Solo Cup.
Yeah, we should do that. Sorry, your story. Sloppy Boys.
Yeah, they look at the etymology of every cocktail, and they often find it's something, like you said, scarcity-driven, where it's like, this is what we had, we threw it together, and now it's a thing. Or, very commonly for most like modern cocktails that don't go back like 100-plus years, it's like some marketing person from like whatever, a brand that was struggling. It's like, hey, this is a cocktail. And then everyone's oh, okay.
Try this out. It's in Good Housekeeping magazine.
So when you said like the story of Korbel being like, we made an old fashioned, but we make brandy. So that's what's in it.
Yeah.
That's like so often the case of how these things get made.
Yeah, totally.
I think it's a Milwaukee fashioned.
I like Milwaukee fashioned.
Maybe can what's we, a Midwestern-y word fashion? For fashion?
Fashion's a weird thing to say.
Yeah. What's a synonyms.
Kohl's is Wisconsin for fashion.
Nick.
Kohl's can.
You got a wallet bursting of Kohl's cash, I'm sure. But have you listened to Kohl's can?
Have you had a Kohl's can?
Nick, look up synonyms for fashioned.
Synonyms for fashion.
Or
thesaurus.
Like
style.
Synonyms for style.
Style.
Like, because it's what
old
we're saying
style.
Is,
we got old style, Milwaukee style. Okay, approach, behavior, characteristic, description, design, form, genre, habit, kind, method, mode,
the
pattern,
Milwaukee method.
The Milwaukee method. I kind of like it. It's not necessarily,
but that
drink,
gets
but
to what he was saying.
Too
old
doesn't
fashioned
inherently
doesn't
mean drink either.
This is the Milwaukee method.
Let me finish out the list, just in case anything else gets into that little worm brain of yours. Mode. Yeah. Pattern,
Milwaukee mode,
spirit, technique, thing,
Milwaukee thing,
tone, trait, trend, type, variety, way, the Wisconsin way.
Wisconsin way, the Milwaukee method, the Milwaukee mode.
The Wisconsin way, but it's W-H-E-Y. That'd be fun.
And you put way in the old brandy old fashioned. What if the Brandy Old Fashioned becomes the Milwaukee Method? That was my favorite one. I'll take a Milwaukee Method. Can I take a Milwaukee Method? And like, what is that? I think you guys call it a Brandy Old Fashioned, but we listen to Cole Can's podcast. Cole Can's.
You want to see my nozzle?
Yeah. Hashtag shows your nozzle, right? And then they.
What's it for this episode?
We're reusing the hashtag. So
oh, we're reusing. Got
even
it.
Though the content should no longer be nozzle based, I would like to continue to reuse the hashtag.
Okay.
So this like episode. That. You're sending us whether they liked our format where we drink a bunch of the mass market thing and then we drink a true style of it. Last time we did like a nice bottle of wine against all the box. This time you made a handmade cocktail against all the canned cocktails. Yeah. And use hashtag show us your nozzles.
I like that. I will say too, I was kicking around the idea of if we weren't drunk enough, I was also going to make us a like classic old fashioned from scratch as well.
Might as young.
So if you're not, okay, we could get there.
People have dropped off by now.
I think they have. We're about an hour in.
Well, they've dropped off by now. So we can just go for another couple hours if we wanted.
All right. I have some Wild Turkey 101 back there. I can make us an old fashioned. Honestly, I've been making myself them this week to practice and they're good.
Maybe I really, earnestly, sometimes I just butter your ass, you know, with stuff where I'm like, wow, you do a great job here, Nick.
I'd love to have my ass buttered.
You did such a fucking good, earnestly excellent drink here. Well
Thank
done.
Thank you.
Very well done.
Honestly.
Very, very good.
In yours, what I like about yours, too, is it's in an actual fashion glass, a rocks glass. That's the only one I have. And Engineer Matt actually gifted that to me. It was a set of two, and I shattered one in a fit of rage years ago. But
you didn't tell me it was in a fit of rage.
Yeah, there's a little history there.
God,
but yours looks great. Like the picture you got, people are going to see that on Instagram.com/ColeCansPod, and they're going to just be like, "Oh my gosh, what a drink!"
Whoa, they're going to say,
"Wow,
whoa,
wow." When did he get his bartending license?
Yeah, did Jay make that drink?
Did Jay show up? And go down to the level of making a Milwaukee Method?
Did Jay make a Milwaukee Method for the boys? Is that a picture of a tree that's clearly going to die and land on that power line any day now?
Is this all going to be kind of haunted someday when Nick's sitting at his dining room table and that tree comes through the window and kills him? And we all have seen the pictures of that same tree? And Joey has to live with the guilt of not cutting down the entire dead tree when he had the chance?
But then, is it weird that Joey offered to cut more of the tree and Nick said he didn't think we needed to?
That's all he'll say, Your Honor.
This is all court disposition.
Our lawyers, they don't stop working.
They don't stop nodding. Our lawyers, they don't stop nodding. We really should have shirts for the diehards, the true blues.
Our lawyers are nodding.
Just say our lawyers are nodding.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
We've talked let's about make that some merch. In the past.
For God's sake, let's make some merch. But yeah, I've been kicking around some logo things. I also got some consulting from Engineer Matt on the designs. Which is very kind of him. But I got to show them to you. See what you think.
Please do. We were just sort of farting around on like DALL-E, you know, Copilot, GPT, whatever the hell name your AI tool thing. But I think that's a good way to like get some inspiration and then, you know, put some actual design to it.
And I did that very thing. Yes. I said, little minion, please inspire my brain.
You said that to Matt?
Matt PT.
Remember your character, Chad?
Chad GPT?
Chad GPT was his name?
Yeah.
I liked him. I don't really know what he did.
You always hated Chad GPT.
Yeah, but now I look back and I like it. I did hate it in the moment because the character was only that it was funny that the man's name was Chad GPT.
Well,
but there was nothing to the character.
What he would do is he would wait to you would ask him a question and then he would wait and say like, formulating response and then respond.
And he would say something overly like
formal like a Wikipedia article that basically regurgitated.
And this was this man, Chad GPT.
Chad GPT.
You'd invite him to like summer barbecues. He'd be like, Chad, you watching the Packers? And he'd
formulating response.
The Green Bay Packers
are the most winningest franchise in NFL history.
Yeah, you're goddamn right, Chad. He's talking.
But as again, he hallucinated on that one because they're not.
No.
League championships, though, I believe is still true. Anyway.
When I went a few weeks back to London, England.
That's right.
And I did
Globetrotter.
I did a talk on AI for Microsoft.
Yeah, you're a big AI boy. Do you want to talk about that on here?
Not at all. But
okay.
When I went over there, I mean, not that I'm adverse to it. It's just like, it's fucking not interesting. But I went over there, did the talk. and did a little like demo. And I was showing off like some of the shit Microsoft's doing with AI, whatever, mm-hmm. doing the demo.
Very cool.
One of the things in the demo I do is I say how you can build these tools to fucking do exactly what you want them to do. Okay, even though you might be aware of ChatGPT, where you can ask it anything and respond with anything. What you actually should do in the fucking business world is make it do like the business stuff it should do.
Totally.
So then when I demo it every time, the thing that I use is I say like, hey, what are my recent tasks? And it answers it correctly. And then I say, but what if I try to say something off the left field here? And I say, how many Super Bowls have the Green Bay Packers won? And I did this in London. So I said, how many Super Bowls have the Green Bay Packers won? I'm like, this is an American thing. And I got like a little chuckle. And it was like, oh, I don't know that. I all I can do is do business stuff. So that's what I was supposed to do. But when I did it, I got a little chuckle. And then someone somewhere in the room, there's a few hundred people in the room, went, go Pack, go.
Hell yeah.
They
in an English accent? In a British accent?
Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go, bro.
Go Pack, go. And,
was it though, or was it in American?
I couldn't tell.
Oh, okay.
It was just like, out of the blue, I just heard, go Pack, go. And I was like, yeah.
That's very fun.
I literally gave like a yeah. And then but that's always the example I use to be like, these things will do your business stuff for you. They won't go off the rails and fall in love with you and tell you to leave your life like the New York Times article.
That guy was asking for it, okay?
He literally was.
Yes.
But that's what everybody's worried about. Everyone's worried the AI is going to fall in love with you. And I'm saying, look, it won't even tell me how many Super Bowls the Packers have won. And then I say.
So this is getting beyond the like novelty of generative AI to actual
business. That's exactly the point of the conversation is to say it isn't just whatever. It's actually supposed to do the stuff your shit wants it to do. Be happy about that. And then I say, by the way, they've won 4. 12, right? 12 if you count world championships. Or is it more?
16, I
16
thought.
If you count world championships. That's what it is. I have it written down in my little notes.
Nice,
so I just read it.
Nice. And, I mean, now seems like as good a time as any to introduce ColdCans.ai.
That's almost my second spit take. We are introducing an AI chatbot. I could build one. Maybe by the time this launches.
Yeah, get the website. We'll finally get the website up so somebody could transfer the goddamn domain.
By the time
maybe
this launches.
Maybe our little assistant can transfer it for us.
All right, I'm writing this down. When this launches, we're going to simultaneously launch this episode with the Cold Cans GPT.
I like it. So log on, go to coldcans.cc. And chat with Brian.
Brian, that's what it is. Now, the astute listener will know that Brian is back. We've brought Brian back. We never flushed him down the toilet.
No, that's all hearsay.
That was
our
like
lawyers are nodding.
The funny bit. The episodes we were doing. Remember,
I think it was a ton of fun. I recently re-listened to Twisted Tea episode, which is the really weird one where we're in the RSS feed with Brian.
We were stuck in the RSS
feed. And it was fun. I mean, it's not.
We had listeners call in and do.
Yeah, gave us, yes.
The multiversal worlds of Cold Cans where they were in charge of Cold Cans, right?
Yes. That was the premise was basically. I was trying to find a universe without gluten so that I could
that's right.
be happy. And then Brian showed us these possible universes, and they were like Edens, basically. Like, there was no war. There was no cancer. Yeah. But we weren't hosting Cold Cans, so we said,
so
that's
we said
not gonna
no
work.
To all of them. Yeah,
yeah.
That's
a funny
what it
premise,
was.
Honestly. Who
we
cares?
Were good.
We could
God damn it. That shit's
twist
good.
Twist our own nozzles once in a while?
Yes. I'm interested in twisting my nozzle. No, show us your nozzle. Use hashtag show us your nozzle.
Twisted tea, twisted nozzles. Go listen to it.
Is it behind the paywall?
It's funny because it recently came out from behind the paywall. I don't. Why did I have it? Why did we have it behind there?
We were afraid of just anyone listening to that garbage.
And it being too weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which we should have never been afraid
of. Who cares? There's so much stuff out there.
You know what? It might be too weird to some people to make brandy old fashions, to make Milwaukee methods. But Wisconsin stood by it, and we should stand by the Twisted Tea episode.
That's right.
where people found alternate multiversal universes.
We'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way.
My name's Garth Brooks, and I made this hell of a song.
Well, Joe, this has been a fun episode. We got to get back to business here, though, and rank these things.
All right. Yeah, let's go back. Let's shut up. We got to go back to it.
We're having too much fun conversing about things.
Yeah.
This episode started slow. I take full responsibility. I didn't
plan. What do you mean?
I didn't plan well enough.
What do you mean it started slow?
It started slow. Go back and listen.
Right away, slow. You yelled at me and said, are you going to talk in this episode? It was like 8 seconds into the episode.
Well, that and then I'm planning to, and listeners will hear this after, I'm going to hit the music after that.
The astute listener will
know. The astute listener will know that the music starts after that.
You know, that's another t-shirt we could have is the astute listener will know.
The astute listener.
Or no, that's just the shirt just says the astute listener.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. Is this what? 60, 75 MSRP?
It's 75 MSRP, but we do sales, and you can get it for 72 MSRP.
Yeah.
We do.
Plus shipping and handling.
Well, it's $24.99 shipping and handling.
Most of that is handling, to be honest.
We only ship USPS handwritten, like with pen, the two line of the envelope. So those are the few times I've shipped stuff out. I've just written the name and the address. So if you want a handwritten, if you want your name handwritten.
That's true. That's sort of like getting the set list from an early Beatles concert.
It is.
Handwritten.
It's like postage. Kurt Cobain's set list on toilet paper. And you're like, whoa, you can get it in the museum. You could have something that's museum bound.
Yeah.
When people finally discover the Twisted Tea episode and realize how brilliant we were and are.
And I will say, too, if Commissioner Brooks gets to this point in this episode, I will just say again how funny his contribution was to that episode.
The Twisted Tea.
Where they were the Russian
who were all the
people.
So they were so good.
That was so funny. Russian, Brooks and his wife, I think, did the Russian thing. Zach Jabal, Zach Petrie. Devin Glock, Evan and Alex. I think that's it. Five, yeah. Evan and Alex did the thing where they shoved the can up their ass.
Yeah,
and
that was cool.
Which was also funny. I know, I forgot what most of the things were, so it was hilarious re-listening to them.
I got to tell all, we have to tell at least all the contributors we just mentioned that Cold Cans is back, so they start listening again. Please, folks, tell your friends.
I can't believe I forgot this. This is the downside of the monthly release. I forget things. So Zach Jabal, former contributor and current listener.
Is he disowning us?
He gave us some feedback on the...
I bet.
He's like, I have some notes on this. Because he's a wine, like he's a
he's literally a professional
sommelier.
Yeah.
Certified sommelier, whatever. And he has some critiques of your quiz for what it's worth.
So really?
The first question, he said Cabernet Sauvignon is not a mix of Cabernet Franc and Merlot is what your thing was.
Yeah.
It's Cabernet Franc and Sauvignon Blanc, which makes sense based on the name.
Way more sense.
Where did you get that answer from?
ChatGPT.
Was it? Okay. he was texting me that. He's like, Joey needs to not rely on ChatGPT for his answers. And he was like the
weird
cadence.
We'll rely on Brian soon.
That's right. Brian.ai. So we're sorry, Zach, for... he said the incredibly janky language of the questions was a dead giveaway that they were made with ChatGPT.
Well, he's actually wrong about that because I didn't have it make questions. I just asked it things and it gave me answers and then I made the questions. So, Zach... Have you know that the incredibly janky language was because of my stupid alcohol-addled brain and not actually because of the AI?
He also called out that we probably were not in Napa when we were playing cornhole, which I think... I went back and listened to the episode. I think we said we were in Santa Rosa when that happened. Like, I don't think we were asserting we were in Napa.
We questioned whether that was
Napa.
Yeah,
we were like, was that Napa? It must have been Santa Rosa.
We settled sort of on a nod and it was Napa, I believe, and then we moved on.
Yeah, and then he said, yeah, Sonoma is a different vibe in some places, which, okay.
Oh, we don't need to shit on Zach here, but he's kind of being mean to us. Zach, come back on the show. Defend yourself.
He said, you don't know how many notes I have, and I'm only a third of the way done. And then I said, let your boys muck up the wine world. Come on.
Yeah, we're mucking.
And he didn't respond. And then I text him back next morning, which two texts in a row on my end. Very risky to
Nicholas,
do.
The next morning?
Very desperate.
You're like a spurned lover.
I know. And then I said, do I get to hear your notes or should I assume we got everything wine-related wrong? And then he said, ha ha, maybe when I finish the ep.
Well, finish it, Zach.
He won't. He's protesting. And then he just told me about the Cabernet thing, which makes obvious sense and, you know, that it was wrong.
I put zero amount of factual research into it.
That's great. That's what makes this podcast great.
20 minutes before I drove to your place, I made the Cabernet Sauvignon quiz. I came up with the idea of letting it spin out of control and into Paul Giamatti facts and then trying to rope it back to Cabernet Sauvignon. That was much more important to me. It was a through line than the factual accuracy of the quiz.
It was fun.
I apologize to Cold Cans Nation. I apologize to my mother and father for disgracing myself the way that I did.
Amen.
Amen. Let's rank them.
Let's rank them. Okay, so to recap, in reverse order, we had the straightaway Oregon Old Fashioned in a can, the Bullet Old Fashioned cocktail in a 375 milliliter bottle, and the On the Rocks Old Fashioned made with Knob Creek bourbon in a 375 milliliter bottle. You go first, Joe.
Well, as I mentioned, the flavors actually are starkly different. When we did box wine, there was like, we were trying to find a bit of nuance with kind of the cheap flavor and find what we liked most. These were like vastly, vastly different. And I do think, two of them used whiskey, one used bourbon.
Two bourbon, one whiskey.
Bourbon's a type of whiskey or whatever the fuck. I don't know anything. I've already established.
I think bourbon, and this Zach could tell us where we're on this. Bourbon is whiskey made in Kentucky. I think that's like the main, like nothing outside of Kentucky can be called bourbon.
Sure about that?
I'll look it up.
Nicholas, look it up. All right.
What are synonyms for bourbon?
So whatever, two of them whiskey. I agree with you that one was like super, super oaky. This Oregon one, the last one we had, which it says oak, smidge of orange and dry finish. The oak dominated and turned me off.
Yes.
However,
I was not hard like oak after eating it, drinking it.
Stop. Nicholas,
that's going to get cut.
Don't
bourbon
cut.
Is a type
no,
of...
No, stop. You're not editing that.
We're not editing anything. Bourbon is a type of barrel-aged American whiskey made primarily from corn or maize. The name derives from the French Bourbon dynasty, although the precise source of inspiration is uncertain. Contenders include Bourbon County in Kentucky and Bourbon Street in New Orleans, both of which are named after the dynasty. The name bourbon may not have been used until the 1850s, and the association with Bourbon County did not appear until the 1870s. Bourbon has been distilled since the 18th century, although bourbon may be made anywhere in the United States. Okay, so I was wrong. It is strongly associated with the American South in general and with Kentucky in particular.
Wow. So it isn't definitionally
made in Kentucky. It's
got to
be American-made whiskey,
I guess. American-made, typically made in Kentucky.
Primarily with corn or maize.
So are we turning this podcast into the 100% factually accurate podcast, or what are we doing?
No, I think that one was a fun one to because it's dispelling a thing that I thought, at least, you know?
It's a good point, yeah. It was fun. It was a fun digression. I don't remember what we were doing. Oh, rating. Yeah. Okay, I didn't like the Oregon Old Fashioned, the straightaway, all that much. I do think it's a distinct flavor. I do think it's worth everybody trying one. If you come across them, crack it open, drink it, let us know what you think.
I like
with
their
hashtag
brand.
Show us your nozzles.
Yes. I like their brand, too. I ordered a variety pack of their cocktails, and then I got some gin fizzes that they make as well that are nitro in the can. It seems like a cool brand, honestly.
Yeah. When you line them all up, they were all, I bet, individually good. Like, if you had one sort of like normal human beings where you don't have three different brands in a row in a 20-minute span, you'll probably like all three of these things. But given that we did have all three in a row, I thought that Knob Creek was actually the smoothest. If I were going to like a picnic, I would bring the Knob Creek, the first one, mm-hmm. in terms of like everyone's going to have a good time. It isn't, no one's going to go like, oh, what the fuck? Like
It's
very sessionable. Everyone will like it. However, my favorite sitting here by actually like a pretty good margin looking back on it was the Old Fashioned Bullet brand. I think that it amped up the flavor considerably. Like, it wasn't as smooth as Knob Creek in a good way, but it didn't go too far in that regard, like I thought Straightaway did, which was like so complex that my kind of drink is drinking and conversing. It isn't like drinking and contemplating. And if you're drinking and contemplating and, you know, correcting wine quizzes and things like that, then Straightaway Oregon Old Fashioned brand makes sense. But if you're like drinking and hanging out and having a good time, I thought Bullet straddled the line pretty well of like, it's not quite as smooth as the first one. It has some depth of flavor, but not so much depth of flavor that it like is demanding your attention. It's an episode of The Office that's on.
Yes.
It's not an episode of Young Sheldon, which is just like, doesn't even need to be on, but it's also not Game of Thrones where you have to watch it. You can't just have that on in the background. That's Bullet Old Fashioned Cocktail.
I think until the end there, that was very astutely put. I think I agree with everything you were saying, that these are all good in their own way, but they're very contextual. And the type of drinking I want to do, especially of an old fashioned, is more along the lines of On the Rocks and Bullet. Those two are closer in my ranking, I would say. I think it's like hard to decide between the two, but I think Bullet does give a more like the punch of it is like what an old fashioned is supposed to be. And I like that. Like, I like that you feel like you're drinking something. You're not just like sipping Kool-Aid and can drink that entire, you know, bottle and not really know what you've done to yourself. The Straightaway, again, great effort, great branding. And I think what I really agreed with what you said is that drinking this against those other two is probably unfair to it, because it is such a unique flavor unto itself that it just tasted a little discordant when we were drinking these other things that are a little bit smoother. But I will say, I think there's something about the bottling versus canning thing. And I think that plays into this here too, that one was canned and maybe is a little inconsistent in flavor and quality.
Which is a decision Straightaway made. They decided
totally,
these cans.
Totally. They were ultra shippable. I got them shipped. STMD, straight to my door.
Oh, STMD, USPS.
Do you remember STYD, the delivery service in Madison when we went to college? Straight to your door?
Vaguely. That does ring like a distant bell.
I just remember thinking it was a funny acronym, so it stuck in my brain forever.
Stayed.
And I think it was S number 2YD.
Yeah, straight to your door. That is what it was. Yeah.
Anyway, Bullet. It's Bullet with a Bullet.
Bullet with a Bullet.
Come
on. Wow.
Thank you. Sorry, go ahead.
I just wanted to point out that you didn't like the last thing I did because you love Young Sheldon, or
exactly. Yeah, it just fell apart a little bit.
It fell apart.
But that's
okay.
But honestly, I think everything. Yeah, exactly. The middle part fell apart, and the beginning was non-existent. But I do like what everything else you said, and I appreciate the nuance to what
you were
saying.
I like everything you said, and I appreciate your nuance. I always appreciate Nick nuance.
I like what that mouth is doing over there.
You're about to thank some contributors.
Thank you to Jay Keener for your contributions. Sorry I had to nag you to get some responses, but I appreciate the thought you put into them. And thanks to Zach Jabal for our fact checker, resident fact checker, soon to be replaced by Brian.
No, thank you, Zach. Thank you for...
No, thanks
we
for
do
listening,
need, and
honestly.
Please check these facts. And thanks for Justin for visiting me, for listening, to being a super fan. More free koozies, but you got to visit me again. I won't ship them free. It's $10 USPS.
All right. Any hints as to what we have in store next month, Joseph?
I'll give you a wink. I'll give you a nod. And I'll say this. Little does one know the drink at hand. One must think and plan. I have not, nor will I, for 2 weeks since, likely.